A December day in Buffalo. It was chilly, wet, and windy.
Hello, Randy. I'm Cleveland, though. I've seen worse.
Another disappointing Sunday for the Jags.
One of those days where we couldn't get much going.
A homecoming spoiled, thanks in part to a hometown kid.
To the 10 end zone touchdown.
Filler, they're lightning and fresh after this thunder.
The Jags were starting to feel good about themselves.
On three, one, two, three, go!
Now, they have to start over. The dreary days are still here, while the search for brighter days continues. This is Jaguars All Access, brought to you by EverBank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing. Buy and sell Jaguars tickets at NFL.com/ticket exchange. Don't wait. Buyers get in and sellers get paid.
That's a lot of cameras in my face at one time.
A humble, shy guy from Iowa, Brad Meester, not a big fan of the cameras, but we make him sit in the big chair tonight. One of our favorite Jaguars in studio here on Jaguars All Access. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Brent Martineau, joined as always by Jeff Loggeman. We were on a roll for a couple of weeks, Jeff. Good performance against Houston, a win last week, and then Sunday, well, frankly, it just wasn't very good.
Well, that's the way it goes sometimes, you know, and this is a football team that is trying to build something, and there are four games remaining. They want to make something happen in these remaining four games.
So we had to go to the veteran for our special guest tonight. And tonight, Wells Fargo welcomes our special guest, center Brad Meester, the grizzled veteran at 35 years old. Still got the mustache. The November stash is going. And, well, Brad, I mean, it's tough for you guys because you had some positives going there for a couple of weeks. Definitely a step backwards yesterday.
Definitely. We had a couple of weeks there where we were doing some real great things, and that's what we wanted to do late in the season here. Obviously, we want to be able to finish on a strong note so we can continue that next year. And obviously, it didn't quite go our way this week, but we're going to hit it again this week in practice and get back on track.
You know, Brad, I think, and we were just talking here, I think Brad's got a record here for the number of appearances on this show and 189 games played. And I was wondering, you know, with this Movember movement, the mustache is going, you've dyed that, haven't you?
No, that's normal color right there. There's no grays in that
Come
either.
On
that's
now.
Pretty good.
You can say that.
Just for men, maybe going on up there.
I like the color. I thought it did pretty good. I mean,
did
I
you
was
pick
surprised.
The color out yourself?
Oh yeah, definitely.
See, I told you.
I love
yeah.
that. We call him old. He's 35 years old, and we get to call him old.
Which one? Just for men?
Yeah, there you go. You got me.
All right, let's get the focus back.
Endorsement
on
time.
Back on the game. Let's take a look at the G Series Prime plays of the game from yesterday.
Play number three, Paul Posluszny's homecoming, another interception for Pops.
And a momentum changer. You're down 7 points at this time, and Paul, Brad, makes a big play here, and it's good to see him make a play like that at a place that he played for 4 years.
Definitely, that was huge. And the defense talks about forcing turnovers, and they did a great job right there.
Paz has been steady. Play number two, Cecil Shorts. It's more fun to watch him play every week. 7 touchdown of the season.
Well, and his touchdown's a little late, but Cecil, Brad, 7 catches, 77 yards, the touchdown. He's got the concussion. But, boy, it's been fun watching him develop this year.
He's had a tremendous season, just making big plays. That was another big play right there in the end zone.
Seems like he's always open. And the top play wasn't a good one. It was the game-changing play in the game. Jags take the lead, then Buffalo has a big kickoff return plus a penalty. Just a momentum shift, big time, Jeff.
Well, and this wasn't even from the guy that you were expecting, Leotis McKelvin. And this is a 55-yard kick return, and you have the penalty here at the end. That tacks on another 15 yards, and the Bills get the ball at the Jaguars' 26-yard line. And once they got the lead, it was one that they would never relinquish. And, Brad, you know, you talk about momentum-changing plays in the game. You can't point to one play that really changed the momentum completely in that game because that was still early. Mm-hmm. But then after that, Mario Williams has a sack strip fumble, and then the Bills have the ball pretty close to the end zone, and they end up getting a field goal out of it. But if you combine those two plays together, and together they were, that was definitely momentum changing.
Definitely. I mean, obviously that had a big impact on the momentum. We've talked about stuff like this. We can't, you know, hurt ourselves in games like this. You know, we've been able to move the ball really well as an offense, and then, you know, stuff like that, we can't hurt ourselves. That's the one thing that stops us is just ourselves, and we've got to learn to eliminate that.
Small margin for error for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Xfinity speed play of the game. In weather like that, you have to be able to run the football. Buffalo did.
Jaguars did not.
Well, and Brad, in the second half, once the Bills got that lead there at the end of the first half, they came out in the second half and they've got two great backs, and C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. They ended up gaining, I think it was 232 yards of offense, most of them in the second half, and that's what you would have been able to like to do to maintain balance in the weather conditions.
Definitely. In a game like that where it was raining all day long, you really want to be able to establish a ground game, and we've got to be able to do a better job of that, especially up front. We've got to be able to control the line and create some holes for our guys in the backfield.
C.J. Spiller, I think that you probably heard of him just like I did, because Union County High School, and that's in Central Florida, not too far away from here in Lake Butler. And, boy, he was a big-time prospect coming out, goes to Clemson, and, of course, we knew that he was going to be on the Jaguars' hit list when he came out in the draft. Well, he is electric. And after 2 years, people kind of questioned what kind of a back would he be.
He did a tremendous job. He's a tremendous back back there, and he does a heck of a job running the ball.
One of those games, for me at least, that you wish you had Maurice Jones. I mean, you wish you had Maurice Jones-Drew every game, but in that weather.
His kind of game.
That would have been his game.
He always excels in them them harsh weather games, whether it was them frozen games like at Pittsburgh or stuff like that. He always excels in them tough weather conditions.
And you guys really weren't able to get the running game going in yesterday's ball game. Rashad Jennings starts out the game, ends up having a concussion himself. He leaves the game, and all of a sudden you're going, okay, who's next? You know, Jalen Parmalee was the week before. Maurice is not available yet, and then in comes Montel. But then by the time Montel got into that game, it really, the game's conditions, the scoreboard wasn't, you know, perfect for running the football anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a great group of guys back there. And Montel stepped in and did a great job. He always does. And, you know, we say that with our running game, it starts up front. It always does. You know, we take that on ourselves, that we've got to create the holes. And no matter who's back there, you know, we've got to be able to establish the line and create the holes for them and let them run through it.
Montel will likely start coming up this week as well. More on that a little bit later on in the show. Combine the lack of the running game with some early drops in those conditions. I mean, nobody will say conditions play a part. They don't want to use it as an excuse. But, I mean, it was pretty nasty and miserable out there.
It was. I mean, it wasn't extremely cold, but it was just nonstop rain. It never stopped the entire first half. And it does cause the ball to get wet. I mean, obviously, that was always an issue for me that I got to address, is because when you get up there and see that ball, I mean, it is soaked. I mean, it's a waterlogged ball, and it's one of those things that we just got to learn how to handle those conditions and do what we got to do in it.
Well, what's the deal? I mean, it's December. I mean, go to Buffalo and it's 50 degrees and raining. I mean, I was shocked. I was expecting. I actually played in the Colts game in Buffalo Bills history. It was minus 40.
Glad it wasn't that way.
I'm glad it wasn't that. But Buffalo, you just expect so much more in the month of December.
Oh, yeah. It was a blessing to get there and it be, you know, high 40s or 50 degrees. I thought that was really a blessing for us. And, you know, it could have been a lot worse because you never know what it's going to be like in Buffalo that time of year. And it's weird when you get there in a 1 o'clock game and the lights are on at the stadium. That's just kind of the way I guess it is there. You know, the climate changes all the time there.
It felt like 8 o'clock at night at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You guys have to fight through injuries now the next month. I mean, we talk about the running backs, but obviously Mike Brewster, broken hand. Who knows if he'll be able to go? I mean, the shuffle continues this late in the season.
That kind of happens. I mean, obviously late in the year sometimes this stuff happens, but we've got a great group of guys. I mean, we've got great depth in the O-line and also running backs. We've got guys that can step up and do the job. Whoever steps in will do a great job.
All right, more with Brad Meester coming up in just a little bit. It's time for a little trivia as we head for our first time out here on Jaguars All Access. Here is tonight's question. Brad Meester graduated from Northern Iowa with a degree in business management. What two-time NFL MVP and Super Bowl champion also attended Northern Iowa? I hope you know it. If you think you know the answer, email us at triviamail@jaguars.com, and you could win a $100 gift certificate from fanatics.com. So much more to come with Brad Meester and Jeff Logman here on Jaguars All Access.
Still ahead on Jaguars All Access. The Jaguars gave up more than 200 yards on the ground on Sunday. Jeff goes to the smart board to show you how it happened. Plus, we're going inside the Jaguars locker room to hear from the guys after the game in Buffalo. But first, here are your Southern Ford dealers' sounds of the game.
Hello, Randy.
We're underway here in Buffalo. Fitzpatrick over the middle. It's intercepted. And look who Paul Posluszny, the former Buffalo Bill. First and 10 from the Bills 40. and he puts some air on it, and it's caught by Shorts. Hell, Owens, the third string around. This is Henny. Second and goal, and he's in. And Jacksonville takes his first lead. Tom starting quarterback position for the Jaguars. A fumble on the play. Jacksonville has it. They punch it in anyway. Through the airways. Cecil Shorts from Chad Henne. Jacksonville falling to 2-10 as Buffalo scores a 16-point home win.
This is Jaguars All Access. This is Jaguars All Access. Brought to you by Gate and by EverBank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing.
The Jaguars are back home this week. The Jets coming to town. Just log on to Jaguars.com or call the ticketing office at 904-633-2000. Still plenty of holiday packs available as well. We'll see you at the game on Sunday. Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. Brad Meester will join us again in just a moment. I'm Brent Martineau. But time to go inside right now to the film room with Jeff Lagerman and the Baptist Health Smart Board. Jeff, that running game, not very good. Outgained 232-50 on Sunday against the Bills.
And we're going
to
focus on the Jaguars' defensive side of the ball and how they allowed 232 yards rushing. Well, Mike Mularkey talked today about fits. Well, fits is about, in a gap control defense, of taking care of your job. And if one guy doesn't fit right, boy, does it look not very good. All right, let's look at the first play here. And if you can see how everybody's kind of aligned, everybody's in a gap, and everybody has a gap responsibility with that alignment. Now, as the play develops, I'm going to pause it. You can see that Terrence Knighton is fighting into his gap. He's got to keep fighting in there. Mincy comes off the outside edge. Russell Allen has this gap right in here. So if everybody stays in their gap, the key here being Terrence Knighton staying into the inside of that gap. If he stays into the inside of that gap, everybody can do their job. But because he throws the lineman and goes back to the outside, he leaves open his gap, and that's the running lane. If he stays in his gap right here, then you have two guys to the outside that can end up making the play. So one improper fit allows Fred Jackson here to get down the field. And it wasn't only Terrence Knighton. Andre Branch had an opportunity as a 6-eye defensive end. His gap is right here. That's his job, right? Do your job, the old mantra. And Andre Branch closes it down, and then all of a sudden he peeks to the outside, but he can't do that because Mike Harris, that's his job. Andre's job is to the inside, and then you have a safety helping from over the top. So there is an improper fit. Now, it's not a big gain, but it's about a 7-yard gain, and when you start adding it up, it starts adding up to big numbers. Now, C.J. Spiller can take the ball absolutely anywhere, and here you would think, okay, he's going to cut it back right in here, and it makes sense, right? Mincy on the outside. He has to stay outside that tight end because he has a defensive back coming to take care of his responsibility. And Mincy is fighting, and all of a sudden he fights and squeezes a little bit too much, and C.J. Spiller, with great speed and great vision, ends up jumping to the outside. If Mincy keeps outside leverage, makes the tackle right here, defensive back is on the inside, the play doesn't end up going for a touchdown as it does right here. And C.J. Spiller, a special player. He's got great speed, one of my favorite running backs in the league because he runs the ball so hard play after play. All right, we come back. We're going to take a look at a couple of offensive plays. But first, let's go inside the Jaguars locker room in Buffalo from yesterday.
We just done a good job of playing complimentary ball. Special team defense and offense being able to help each other out. Obviously, we've had better days than this, and we're going to continue to build on the good things that we've done.
One of those days where we couldn't get much going. Still fighting, every play, but just, not ever overcoming the hump.
This is Jaguars All Access.
Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. Back here with Brad Meester in just a moment. Quick reminder here, fans, don't forget to use your rewards and teal deals at EverBank Field on game day and online. For more info, head to Jaguars.com and register today. Now let's go back to Jeff for more of the Baptist Health Smart Board.
All right, I got a couple quick offensive plays, and the first one is the Chad Henne rushing touchdown, and he almost made a mistake. And I'm going to show what could have been a colossal mistake. A little play here, not very complex. It's just a little bootleg. And the primary target here is not only Mercedes Lewis, who's going to work his way into the back of the end zone over here, but also Guy Wimper, who has a touchdown catch already. And Guy Wimper is absolutely wide open. There he is. right? Just throw it to Guy Wimper. Don't take the chance. I know you love your offensive lineman. And Chad Henne, you can see, look, oh, he almost flipped it. Love your offensive lineman, but don't love him that much. Don't ever risk that throw. All right, Brad Meester, he's kind of chippy. All right, what's chippy? Well, I think he gets this from his old offensive line coach, Paul Boudreau, and here he is working against the defensive tackle. And you know the old saying, help a man when he's down? Not in the National Football League and not with Brad Meester. It's keep a man down and put him down even farther to the ground. Look at the little club across the back. That's legal. That's legal. And then, of course, you know, after the play's over, hold him down, put your hands up in the air to act like you did nothing. See, Brent, I like that about Brett. Put your hands up, drive them defensive line crazy, because I've been there before and I didn't like it either.
I mentioned grizzled veteran. A guy like that will do it. I want to go back to Guy Wimper because he caught a touchdown earlier in the year. All right, be honest. You offensive linemen get a little jealous when a guy catches a touchdown? No. What about me?
No, we love it when any of our offensive linemen get a touchdown. And we thought he had one there, and we watched the film. We were hoping for him to get it, but we're glad we got it either way.
You'll rib Henny on that a little bit. All right, forget about the football for a moment. We've got a family picture of the Meesters. I'll let you introduce everyone. Five little girls. Well, not little anymore, actually.
No, not little anymore. They're growing quick. The one in the yellow is Chloe. I got Sophia and Lily, and then Emma, and then our youngest one there, looking at the snow, is Aubrey.
And folks, we have breaking news here tonight. Brad Meester and his lovely wife are going to have another child. Five, not
yes,
enough.
Yes, we are.
Wow.
One more shot
crazy?
At that boy.
Congratulations,
thank
first
you.
Of all. I
thank
forget
you.
To say that, but then I followed
I
up
know.
With, are you crazy?
A lot of people say that, but... I mean, we love having the kids there. I mean, obviously, it is chaotic at a lot of times and crazy, but we just absolutely love it. I mean, it's one of the greatest times ever, so we're excited about having another one.
And it's true that you'll find out, boy or girl, right
couple
before
weeks.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Obviously, will you be a little nervous going into that?
I will be a little nervous. I mean, we would love to have a boy, but I'm a little bit nervous because I have so many girls. I don't know what I'm going to do if it was a boy. I mean, I've just gotten used to having... girls at the house, so it'll be nervous either way.
The girls excited?
They are excited. They're very excited.
Good. Well, good luck with all of that, of course. Happy holidays
you.
To you and the family. And I want to mention quick, you look good. You still feel good 13 years into this thing. How much longer do you have? I'm not trying to get you out. I know I asked you this a couple years ago,
I know,
I remember,
because
it looked like you might be on your way out, but you got some in you left.
I feel good. I mean, it's I feel like I'm moving well. They've been very good to me, obviously giving me some time off during the week, too, to help recover, and so I feel good. I mean, I feel like there's still some left, hopefully.
You do take every Wednesday off. They call it a Veterans Day every week for you. Is it? Does that really help? I always wonder. I mean, you get to sit out practice for the most part. You kind of walk through things. But, you know, as long as you've played in the league now, does that help you?
This is the first year I've got to do that, and it has helped. I mean, it's been a real benefit for me. I mean, it's given me a chance to really get my legs back. And that's probably the biggest thing, really, is just recovering after a tough game and it's given me an opportunity to recover and then get back after it on Thursday when I'm ready to go.
Got room on that wrist for a watch, or you could give it to one of the girls. You've been on the show so many times that it's time to give you a Bueller Swiss watch. Of course, all of our guests here on the show receive a limited edition Bueller Swiss watch. Bueller Swiss watches are the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they are available at fine jewelers throughout Northeast Florida. So much more to come with Brad Meester and Jeff Lagerman, and we'll also hear from Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. It's a beauty. You don't want to miss it. Plus the images of the week. Stay with us here on Jaguars All Access.
This is Jaguars All Access.
Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. All last year, we had guests as part of the Florida Dairy Council's Fuel Up the Play 60 program. Great program. No kids tonight, but stay tuned for our special guests throughout the season. Well, it's time to get in the zone, folks. Music with John Osier this week. Doesn't get much better than this. Here's this week's C-Best Ozone.
I'm John Osier for Jaguars All Access, here with tonight's Ozone question. Carlene from Laurel, Mississippi writes, I hear Cecil Shorts has a nickname. Is that so? And what about you, Mr. O? Any nicknames we don't know about? Well, Shorts actually has a few nicknames. The one catching on is C-Score. Then there's CS3. He's even called Josh by some teammates. But that's a film room comparison to Josh Morgan, and Shorts really can't stand that one. As for me, my nicknames don't match Cecil's. There's Hey Ozone. There's also my nickname from a breathtakingly mediocre career on the Episcopal High Hardwood, Dr. O. Though in retrospect, that was more facetious than homage to that other 1980s doctor. Then, of course, there are the nicknames from the girl in my college Spanish class. Gran Zoque, No Me Gusta, and Se Pierden. But forget my glory days. What's important here is that Schortz's nicknames aren't facetious. He's earning them. He's playing well and doing it as consistently as any Jaguars player. And people are noticing. For a team that needs stars, that's a sign he's becoming one. Because that's the general rule with nicknames. You don't get them if you don't make plays. And you've got to be pretty darn good to earn them. Not that there aren't some exceptions.
John Osher's like a box of chocolates, man.
I wonder, who's writing this stuff for Johnny O? Because all of a sudden he got a sense of humor this year.
Doing a great job with it. Time now for your G-Series Prime Headlines. The week is here. Tim Tebow and the New York Jets come to town. We'll see if Tebow is healthy enough to get on the field and if they put him on the field. And one guy the Jags need back is Maurice Jones-Drew. Keep an eye on his status this week, though. As of today, it looks very questionable and probably unlikely he'll play.
Yeah, that's what Mike Mularkey talked about today. And you know what the talk is going to be this week? You know, with Tim Tebow, I mean, the Jets ended up pulling Mark Sanchez in that game, and they went with Greg McElroy was a great former NFL player. Went with Greg McElroy, and then Tim Tebow's been number two on the depth chart. So you ready for the questions this week?
I'm sure they'll hit a lot of the defensive guys with those questions, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of hype being brought up about him coming back to town. So we'll be ready for that, I guess.
Everybody will be talking about it, no doubt about it. Brad Meester, great to have you on again.
Well, thank you, Brad.
Good luck. Have a great holiday season and get a win on Sunday. That's going to do it. Appreciate having Brad Meester in. For John Osher, Jeff Lagerman, I'm Brent Martineau. Thanks a lot for watching Jaguars All Access. Have a super rest of the week, everybody.